First song, there's only one way. Second song, I look to the King. Third song, what that King did for us. The next song, the amazing love. Should not only show us what the King did for us, but it should spur love and praise. Our last song today, I think, is very fitting at the end of the sermon to praise our Lord for what we will learn today as Team Jesus, taking up our cross. We are in the book of Philippians. We just have begun this book. Today I want to give a sermon titled, The Good Work of God in You. The Good Work of God in You. Philippians 1, 1 through 6. Let's begin there. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops, the pastors, and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember that this little church started as just a group of faithful women meeting by the river. And now it has grown into a congregation. How does that happen? It's not because of the pastors, it's not because of the Bible teachers, and it's not because of programs, even though many people think that nowadays. The church grows faith by faith, one person sharing to another. That's how a church grows. These small group of women started sharing their faith, started sharing Jesus Christ, and the church began to grow. Verse 3 of that chapter, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. There was a special place in Paul's heart. You can tell that this church began that first day by the river. And he loved them and he was praying for them. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Begun a good work in you. What good work has God begun in these new believers? What? Okay. I would say this, salvation. What is salvation? Folks who are saved should know this. What is salvation? Forgiveness of sins. Is that it? Born again. Another word for salvation, so you're kind of using the... No, I won't go there. You don't get any credit. That's just another name for salvation. Nice try, though. Rescued, that's another name. But rescued from what? All right, so we got forgiveness of sin, rescued from the judgment. Anything else? Gift. Okay. Eternal life. And those are all basic answers and a basic understanding. I'm not trying to be mean. A basic understanding of salvation is true. That's what salvation is, but it's so much more. Salvation is so much more. It is this good work God begins in you at the moment you are born again. Forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life is your basic understanding of most people when they say salvation. I'm forgiven, I'm saved, going to heaven. But there's so much more. I broke it into three phases. Phase one of salvation, your born again moment. When the sinner repents and puts their faith in Jesus Christ, this is where the good work in you has begun. Starting point, being born again. We see this in John chapter 3. Jesus answered, most surely I say to you, unless one is born of water, and I connected it to Ephesians 5:26, the cleansing of the church with the washing of the water by the Word of God. One must hear the Word. They must hear the Gospel if they're going to be saved. Most of us say, unless one is born of the Word, the water, and the Spirit is out in the world convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Our sin, our lack of righteousness, and our pending judgment. A person has to hear, and the Spirit convicts them what they're hearing from the Gospel is true. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said you must be born again. The Spirit of God takes the Gospel and He begins this conviction of the heart, the soul of a sinner. Because the conviction and the Gospel is ringing true, the Spirit is testifying to your heart, to your mind. The conviction should cause the sinner to repent. Mark 1:15, Jesus said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Turn from your sins. Turn from the way you're living life. Turn from your false beliefs and turn to the one who died for you. Turn to Jesus Christ and believe in the Gospel that we are sinners separated from God and we are going to be judged by God. But Jesus came and died in our place to give us a way back to God the Father. So we must have this moment where we understand under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the Gospel, which causes us to want to turn from our sins and put our faith in Jesus Christ. This moment laid out in Matthew or Romans chapter 10. But what does it say? The Word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach, the Gospel. You've heard it. It's right there. Act on it. Believe it. Act on it. That if you confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, you are finally acknowledging in your sinful lifestyle, your lifestyle of disobedience to God, that He is Lord. You're not making Him Lord. He's Lord. He's always been Lord. And now you are confessing He is Lord Jesus, meaning your owner, your master. You are surrendering from your disobedience. You are surrendering to Christ, putting yourself under Him at His mercy. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no gospel. There is no salvation if He didn't raise from the dead. But you believe that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the moment of salvation. This is the moment we must all come to. This has to be real. It has to be with understanding and the heart wanting to turn from sin. God the Father, the mediator Jesus Christ, and the sinner who repents and comes to the foot of the cross. When you do that, when you, by faith, call out to Jesus, three things happen to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? That's all of us before Christ. We were the unrighteous. Everyone on the planet is unrighteous. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicator, nor idolater, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Amen? But you were washed. The blood of Christ was put to your account when you turned from your sins and you called out to Jesus. The blood that He shed, the innocent blood that He gave, you were washed, all your sin, all your corruption, every bad thing you have ever done, the filth that we used to live in, all of it washed away in the blood. You were washed. But you were sanctified. Past tense, sanctified means set apart. So God washes the sinner clean. In His eyes, the sinner is righteous, has never sinned. They're pure. And He takes that sinner who is now a washed believer, and he sets you aside. You're no longer you're of the world. You're his. You've returned home. You're a child of God. He has sanctified you. He has set you apart. You belong to him now. He has purchased you with a heavy price. And you're set aside as his, and you're set aside for his will. Because he's the owner, master, Lord. So you're washed, you're sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Justified means declared righteous. The unrighteous will not inherit. We were all the unrighteous. But putting your faith in Jesus Christ, he washes you, he sets you aside, and he gives you his righteousness. You are justified, declared righteous, because we receive the righteousness of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him you were in Christ Jesus, because of God the Father, you were in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness. He became righteousness for us. And sanctification and redemption. Taking what was not worth anything and redeeming it and giving it worth. There's nothing in this life you can do that'll give you worth in the eternal eyes of God. But one thing, surrendering to him and him redeeming you. You can do all the greatest deeds. You can be Mother Teresa times 50. And you haven't redeemed yourself. You haven't given yourself any worth. The only worth you'll have is found in Christ, who becomes righteousness for us and redeems us, gives us worth. At this same moment, we are being washed, sanctified, justified, given the righteousness, redeemed. We're made alive. Ephesians 2, 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, when we were sinners, when we were the unrighteous, before we came to Jesus Christ, we were dead men and women walking, dead spirits, disconnected from God. We had no worth. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. He made us alive together with Christ by grace. You are been saved. He comes into our life and we start to live the life finally we were meant to live in relationship with our Creator. It's a new life. And as a new life and all these things that we just learned happen to us at that moment of salvation, we are new creations. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anyone's in Christ, he, she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A new creation that the Holy Spirit has come into and sealed you as a believer in Christ. The same Holy Spirit that Jesus promised to all who would believe in him. John chapter 7, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Glorified after his resurrection, proven who he was, and he was taken back into heaven. Then the Holy Spirit was given. That's phase one. You guys realize that? More than just forgiveness of sins. That's not an incorrect answer, but it goes, all this happens. It's more than just receiving eternal life. You are washed. That's amazing when you look at some of our lives, how wicked and sinful and wretched we were. All of it gone. All of it. God's eyes, he remembers your sin no more. It's as far as the east is from the west. Whew. You're washed. You're sanctified. Set apart for God. It's called, sometimes you'll hear people say it, positional sanctification. You're set apart. You have a new position. You're God's. You belong to Him. Not your God's. Possessive, your God's property. Just want to clarify that. Someone will see this on YouTube and say that we become little gods because that's being taught today. Just want to make sure I said that correctly. So you're washed, you're sanctified, you are justified. You're made alive. You're a new creation. You get a new start in life. You get a do-over. Thank you, Lord. And you receive the Holy Spirit of God. He is sealed. You are sealed in Him, and He is a guarantee, which we'll get to in a second. Phase one of salvation, the good work that God has begun in you. Phase two. I think Debbie said this. Phase two, sanctification of the believer by the Holy Spirit. This is part of being saved. Let me show you. In the past, in those verses I read already, sanctified was past tense. Being born again, you are set apart. It happened once in your life when you were saved. Now the Holy Spirit is going to be doing a present tense sanctification in your life. It's called ongoing sanctification. We see this in Hebrews chapter 10. There's many more verses I could have used, but for sake of time. But this man, context of the passage, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies were made his footstool, Psalms 2, for by one offering he has perfected, made righteous, made you look perfect in the eyes of God. He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Present tense. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. He's talking to this to people who are already saved. They're already at church. What is this talking about? Well, he kind of explains your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess. Each of us need to know how to possess his own vessel, his own body, his own life. In sanctification and honor. This is the transformation of the sinner. God has already made them a saint. He has already set them aside. They are declared righteous. They are justified in His eyes. But now, the life is going to be conformed to our new position, to our new, being a new creation. The life that we lived up until the moment of salvation was corrupt. It was sinful. It was worldly. And now, yes, we've been declared righteous, but we are far from it. The Holy Spirit comes into our life. He's going to start to work on our lives from the inside out. He's going to start to transform the new believer out from the worldly standards and create godly standards. We learn to live this new life we have according to God and His Word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, we just got done a couple weeks back doing Peter. Look at verse 2. The elect, remember we talked about we're the elect, chosen by God, not because we're all special and all that, but He did choose you. The elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for what? Oh, say it with some conviction and excitement. We love that word, don't we? We've loved it since we were little. No, we haven't. Since we were little, we don't want to obey. It's the sin nature we have. We're born with. But see, the sanctification, Once we realize what Jesus Christ has done for us, what He has saved us from, and what He has done for us at the moment of salvation. And now He wants to transform us. He wants to give us worth. And the sanctification process by the Spirit is so that we can obey God where we didn't before. We didn't want to. But now we do. Before Jesus, I didn't want to obey. I said I was a believer. I claimed Jesus Christ. I said I was saved. I was baptized. I did it all. But you know what was missing? No obedience. No desire to obey God. None. All of a sudden, I want to obey God. What happened? Well, this wretched sinner finally was broken by God and repented and was born again. And I was washed and I was sanctified and I was justified and I was redeemed and I was made alive. I was changed. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit is in me, the Holy Spirit of God, and He brings the desires of God into our lives for the first time. And we're far from perfect. We got a long journey ahead of us as believers. But all of a sudden, we want to obey. It's not about religion. It's not about doing the rules, the little clipboard, well, I attend church, so I'm a good person. No, it has nothing to do with church, actually. Because we're talking about one-on-one relationship with God. We're talking about a one-on-one work in you. Just you. It has nothing to do with going to church. In sanctification of the Spirit for obedience. Our new lives in Christ should be characterized by obedience. We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. And there's going to be times we disobey God. But it's not what we want to do anymore. We want to obey Him. We want to obey His Word. We want to fulfill what He has called us to be. You see, Jesus was always obedient to the Father. He always did the will of the Father. He said, I always do what pleases my Father. We were none of that. But now we want to. And we try. We'll never be as good as Jesus. That's why we need Him as a Savior. But we can try. We can do a lot better than what we used to. This is what is supposed to be happening to the new believer. If they're truly saved, this is what happens. You're changed. You want to show Jesus Christ in your life. That's what sanctification is all about. Romans 8, verse 29. For whom He foreknew, remember, we were the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. For whom He foreknew, the foreknowledge of God, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Do you know what the most important thing you can do in this life? It's not become president of the United States. It's not to earn the Medal of Honor on some battlefield. It's not to win the Super Bowl. It's not to become powerful, rich, and famous. It is to become the image of the Son of Jesus Christ. To become the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to be shown in you. That's the greatest thing you can do. And we've, the church for a long time, almost from the very beginning of the church, Satan has infiltrated and corrupted. And we want to make it, look at me, how good I am. I go to church. I do this, I do that, I do, oh. It's not about us. It's never been about us. It's always about Him. To be conformed to the image of His Son. Why? Why does God want that for us? Because we can show people Jesus. We can show them their Savior in us. Then we can tell them our story of what Jesus did for us. And they too can have what we have in Christ. The good work of God. Salvation. It is possible, believer. It is possible for us to show Jesus Christ. But that means we surrender to the Holy Spirit. We're going to obey this. To obey it, you have to read it. Tell them I'll call them back later. For us to show Jesus, have the very nature of Christ in our lives, to show the love of Christ to others, we, through the Holy Spirit, then, in the sanctification process, being conformed to the image of Christ, we can show the fruit of the Spirit. We can show the love of Christ. Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ, who have been sanctified, set apart, but are now in sanctification of the Holy Spirit, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. We have learned to possess our vessel, our lives, in service and obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit given to us by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're no longer controlled by our flesh. No longer controlled by our temper, our lusts, our selfishness. We don't have to be controlled by that stuff anymore. We can actually start to walk this life in the image of Jesus Christ. We can copy our Savior. No longer controlled by the flesh, but walking in the Spirit of God. This is the evidence that we have truly been saved. Phase one has truly happened to us. Because we are a change, our life changes after Christ. Slowly but surely, it changes. Sometimes it's dramatic and quick, people see change, and other times it's a slower process, but there's a change overall. You're not the same person you were before. The Holy Spirit of God has come into you. You're sanctified, and you're being sanctified. A changed life, obedience to the Word of God, is the evidence of a true believer. Salvation phase two is the evidence that phase one actually took place. Ongoing sanctification of a believer. Ongoing sanctification. Sanctify them by your Word. Your Word is truth. This book is alive and powerful, and we study it. But today, people are attacking it, calling it evil. Churches are even saying, well, we'll believe this part, but we don't believe this part. Wow. You think that person's going to be sanctified? Do you think that person's probably even saved when salvation makes you want to obey this? But now you're judging it like you are God yourself? Wow. Ongoing sanctification of a believer. The will of God for each believer. Your sanctification. You want to do the will of God for the first time in your life. Before Christ, you did your own will. But now, you want to do God's will. Wow, that's crazy how it works. That's what salvation does for us. We want to be obedient to God, to Jesus, to His Word. We want to be conformed as a believer to the image of Jesus Christ. I want people to see Jesus in me. And there's many times I fail at that, folks. I fail. That's why we need God's grace every day. And we get back up and we try again. Fruit of the Spirit is produced in us. Real love. Biblical love. Not the love of the world. Not love that can fall out of love, comes and goes. Not love that I love you, but I don't love you. No, real love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit. Sanctification of the Holy Spirit, phase two. This phase of salvation is not just the believer, though, sitting back and going, okay, Holy Spirit, do your job. Or stepping into a closet or a telephone booth like Superman and coming out and boom! This phase two is the work of the Holy Spirit, but it's not a one-way street. You have a part to play in this. Let me show you. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, your life, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Jesus died for us. We can at least say, Lord, you've saved me for all eternity. You've justified me. You've washed me. You've done all these amazing things. And now your Spirit lives within me. And he's making me the person I'm supposed to be. And oh, I'm so much happier this way. And I'm so much more filled with joy and peace. Yes, Lord, here's my life. What can you do with it? How can I help? How can I be part of the solution and not the problem? Oh, be your church? Oh, yes, Lord, I'll be your church. Oh, be salt and light? Oh, yes, Lord, I'll be salt and light. Oh, be your witnesses, Lord? Oh, I'll be your witness. Share with others? I'll share, Lord. Oh, you want me to go to Zimbabwe as a missionary? Okay. I'll go. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's not just letting the Holy Spirit do His thing. We are walking with the Spirit. We are surrendering to Him daily. Pick up your cross and follow Him daily. Die to self. Live for Christ. Do not be conformed to this world. Break from the worldly sinfulness and their false way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the knowledge of the Word of God. This is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the very heart and soul of the person. This renews our mind. It programs us to think and understand as God would have us to think. The world has told us how to think, and right now the world is, hey, think of yourself. Click, right? Or click, right? Selfie. You might be in it, but who's in the forefront? Me. The world has taught us to think in a way that is not godly. It's time for us to learn. Apply yourself to the study of the Word of God. Personally, in your own time. Come to extra Bible studies. Learn more. If you have questions, come to the gathering or just come see me. And that's my job, is to help you guys grow in the knowledge of God. When you have taken the knowledge of God and you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, this is what the sanctification process, this is how it works. And slowly but surely, God changes you. I am night and day from the man I used to be. Praise God. What a terrible human being I was. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, we know that's sanctification. To be conformed to the image of His Son, to show Jesus Christ. Whew. But be careful. In this process, that we never think too highly of ourselves or think we've arrived. Okay? This sanctification process, phase two, is going to be our entire life, folks. Some of us will move farther than others. Some of us will do a lot better than others. But it's going to be a continuous process your whole life. But some, we can study them in history. R.C. Chapman, oh, he took this so seriously. He was there. He was probably farther along than any person in the last 1,000 years, any Christian. R.C. Chapman. People said when they sat down with R.C. Chapman, they felt like they were sitting down with Jesus Christ. And that's not being blasphemous. That's saying R.C. Chapman was so serious about being a living sacrifice in the sanctification phase two of salvation, that he was conformed to the image of Jesus. He walked, breathed, talked Jesus. It can be for you as well. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, this is what Paul says. Now, Paul, I would say, does anyone think they're a better Christian than the Apostle Paul in here? Good, good. Here's what Paul said. Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected. Paul's not saying, hey, I'm the Apostle Paul. I'm there. No, he didn't think that way. But I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are above or ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Paul says, "This is I'm about God's will. God's will is sanctification. The more I'm sanctified, the more salt and light I'll be. The more I'll be a good witness, I'll be salt and light. I'll be showing Jesus Christ." Even the apostle Paul knew there was more to go. There always is. That's why each day we get up, it's a new day with Christ. But a lot of people start thinking, religious types, oh, I'm a pretty good person. They sit in church, maybe they've been sitting there for decades, and they have a real judgmental attitude towards others. Oh, I've seen them my entire life. I've seen them in ministry in the last 20 years. Judgmental. They got the nose pointed down just at the right angle. Unloving. The exact opposite of the image of Christ. But they're good Christians. Stay humble. We're here to encourage one another. It's not a race, as in we're racing against each other. We're not here to say, I'm farther down the road of sanctification than Floyd or Randy or Mark. Well, not Mark, that's no doubt. Poor Mark. We're not racing against each other. We're racing with each other. There's a difference. We're encouraging each other to do this, to grow together. Final phase. I'm almost done. Final phase of salvation, the good work that God has begun in you, glorification. Let me show you Colossians chapter 3. If then you were raised with Christ, if you are a born-again believer, if you're born again, phase one has happened. Phase two has happened, giving you the evidence of phase one it happened. But if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. How do you know you're a believer? Because you want to seek those things that are above. You want to do the will of God. Seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. Right? Not on things on the earth. I used to be all about the things of the earth, folks. And I'm not saying all the things of the earth aren't actually sinful. And we have a life and we got a job and we have things we got to do and we have our hobbies and we can have fun too. We can go play golf. We can do things. But our mind is always, our primary focus is always above. How can I show Jesus on the ninth hole? Well, you can't do that on Sunday morning. You need to be in church on Sunday morning. But you can. Where I used to throw my clubs, scream and holler, and say bad words, now I go, oh, sand trap, awesome. God is good. Someone say, sure. I do. Go golfing with me. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Learn that, folks. Every waking moment we have, every breath we take, we're in Christ. When you're driving, you're in Christ. When you're at the store, you're in Christ. When you walk into the donut shop at 7 in the morning and you're on a tight schedule and the lady goes, oh, we don't have your order yet. You'll need to sit down for 10 minutes. Go! Okay. I had to do that this morning because I'm, oh man, I've got so many things to do on Sunday morning. But we breathe and shout Christ. It's a struggle. We're not always going to be good at it. We're going to fail. But if you're raised with Christ, this is what you want to do. And look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. At that moment when He takes us home, we're glorified. The sin nature is removed. We'll never have to worry about the sin nature again. We're redeemed completely. Salvation and sanctification has taken its full course. We are saved. Salvation is complete at that moment. And we stand with our Father. And we stand with our Lord and Savior. And we're saved and we're glorified. Whew. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, remember that. And in Him, amen. To the glory of God through us. Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in our hearts as a guarantee. Guarantee of what? Salvation. The Holy Spirit is your guarantee that you know you have salvation. And He proves it to you in this life and the life to come. But He says, I give you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that the good work that I began in you, He is promised to complete it, to take you home. Philippians 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Eternal salvation, guaranteed to those who are in Christ. How does a person know they are in Jesus Christ? That they have salvation? That they've been truly born again by the Holy Spirit of God through Jesus Christ? Simple. The Holy Spirit produces the evidence of Himself in you. Your lifestyle changes. You desire to obey God and His Word where you didn't before. You start to show Jesus Christ to those around you. That's why you'll end up losing friends and family members. Many times, the fruit of the Spirit will begin to be produced in you. Phase one. It's an amazing phase. A lot happens at that moment of salvation. It is the forgiveness of sins. It is receiving eternal life. But look at the beauty, the description, everything that takes place. You're washed, sanctified, justified, made alive, redeemed, new creation. Holy Spirit comes into your life. And phase two begins. Ongoing sanctification, living sacrifice, day in, day out, picking up your cross, dying to self, letting the Master change you. Show you some ugly things about yourself and go, you need to let that go. That's not who you are anymore. And you learn to let things go and you learn to move forward and allow Christ to, the Holy Spirit to rebuild you. A true believer will desire the sanctification of the Spirit. Not religion, not church, not the clipboard, hey, I'm a good person. Oh, you hate that. You want sanctification. You want this personal relationship. You want to do the will of God. You want to be obedient. You want people to see Jesus Christ in you. You want the fruit of the Spirit. These are things you cannot do in your own power. Many have tried. They have. They just can't do it. They all crash and burn after a while. It can be done through the Holy Spirit. If you have these desires, then you know beyond a doubt that you are saved. You don't have these desires, something is wrong. I need to say this. Something is wrong. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe the enemy has gotten you deceived and on a false path of Christianity. You're not taking sanctification seriously. You're trying to do everything but sanctification. Oh, I'll go to church. I'll tell people about Jesus Christ. I'll do all these things, but you're not going to sit down and spend time in this. You'll do anything else. Well, yeah, you're not going to produce the evidence. You'll produce religious evidence, but not born-again evidence. Maybe you're on that path. You need to get off that path and back to the true path. Or maybe, even worse, you think too highly of yourself. You think you've already arrived. All those can stop the evidence. It can grieve the Holy Spirit if you have the Holy Spirit. It's a dangerous place to be. But see, if you surrender to the sanctification process, the Holy Spirit will give you the evidence. You don't have to try to make it up. It'll happen. And you have assurance that you're saved. You don't have to worry about it. God is good. So I'm going to leave you with two questions as I go. Team, come on up. Has God begun a good work in you? Have you received salvation? It's a question we all need to ask ourselves. All people can have doubts. Many do, especially in the beginning. But I always tell people, you give God long enough in sanctification, He'll give you the evidence, the doubts will leave. God is good. He wants you to know you have eternal life. He doesn't want you hoping. He doesn't want you wrestling, He wants you to be secure in His love. He'll give you the evidence. But have you done phase one? You've got to start at the gate. You've got to start at the cross. That's where the path begins. You must be born again. Born again is not some religious prayer that you did not understand. Born again is not being baptized when you were young and saying a sinner's prayer at vacation Bible school that you did not understand. Born again is a mature mind that understands you're a sinner and God's going to judge you and you have no hope. And you're ready to turn from that judgment and put your faith in Jesus Christ. You understand why He died for you. You understand that He is the only way. 3 days later, He was raised from the dead, proving who He was. And you're ready to put your faith in Him. You're ready to make a life decision that's going to change the rest of your life. That's a born-again moment. You can't do that as a child. Has God begun this good work in you? If He has, if you have been born again, are you actively seeking phase two? If not, why not? Or maybe this is the first time you've heard it. All right, let's do it together. That's what this church is all about. I'm not here to tell you how good you are, because we're not good, folks. Without Jesus Christ, we are worthless. He's given us worth. And we praise Him and we celebrate that. And I look on you in love and I see the worth Christ has given you. And He's given me a love for you where before I didn't have love for other people. I didn't care about other people. God has brought us together to help one another down this most difficult path. It's not going to be easy. Just like in the old days, the Marine Corps had posters that said, they showed a drill instructor, just attacking a recruit. And it says in there, we never promised you a rose garden. You never entered the Marine Corps going, hey, this is going to be great. Same with God. He never promises the rose garden. He promises everything but. But on top of that, look at what He has done for us. The good work. The past stuff He's already done in our lives at the moment of salvation. What He's doing in our lives now. And what He's going to do in the end. All three phases. That's what salvation is. The good work of God in you. It is truly amazing. It's wondrous. It's mind-blowing. It's the greatest gift you'll ever receive. It is the gift that keeps on going, keeps on giving, as they say. We should praise God every day for just what we've learned this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, You are so good. And what You have done for us is beyond description. I've tried to lay it out as best I could this morning, and it's truly amazing what we can see from Your Word. And I pray that everyone in here, Lord, knows where they're at with You. If they're not right with You, Lord, if they've never actually done phase one, Lord, I ask You to reveal that to them. That phase one needs to be done first. First and foremost. And Lord, if those in here that have done phase one, that phase two is essential for us to do, fulfill Your will to accomplish that. So Lord, I ask You to help us as a church, as individual believers and as a church, Lord, that we will understand what the good work You've begun in us is, what it all encompasses, every amazing point. Let us just hold it close like a treasure, what You have done for us in salvation, what it means, and be forever thankful. And to always remember, that is why we praise You, and You are worthy of our praise because of the good work that You have begun in us. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand up and sing, and we'll go home. Amen? We got everything to praise Him for. Oh, everything. Do not let yourself forget. Not that this was like the most best, awesome sermon ever. But the truth of it is. The truth of it is. Remember, if you've been born again, what happened on phase one? All those amazing things. And phase two is His loving hand in your life. And phase three is yet to come. Let's go out, Team Jesus, with that on our minds and on our hearts. Let it affect the way we live this week. Let's go be salt and light, and let's take the image of Jesus Christ out there in the playing field of the world. Let's break out of here on the count of three. One, two, three. Break! Let's go.